systematic benevolence. System is a very important word. We hear of systems in the space probe. Vastly complex series of mechanisms and processes that lead to a climax, to a desired end. Systematic means well planned, well thought out behavior. Benevolence. Bene means well or good. And the volens part of it comes from the word to choose, volition. Systematic well-wishing. Well-wishing to the extent of giving. Systematic benevolence is the thought we are to think of today. Planning, budgeting, regularity, adequate proportion, all wrapped up in the word systematic. Benevolence, the love of Christ, leads us to think the best of those for whom He laid down His life. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Since God is so, since He is systematically, continuously, never-endingly thinking of our advantage, we ought to do as He has asked us to do. And He gave us a system in the Old Testament of tithes and offerings. Tithe He requires. Offerings He leaves up to us. Part number one, the purpose of systematic benevolence. What is the purpose of this all? First of all, it's anti-covetousness. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I read some time ago of a tribe of Eskimos near the Northwest Passage whose prestige depends upon the number of fish they have decomposing in their yard. We today have got a slightly different point of view. Sometimes we consider the prestige of a man by the number of automobiles he has depreciating in his garage. We set up ideals, objectives in our minds, and then we compare ourselves with others. We covet it, what they have. We try to get it. We forget about the needs of our fellow men and forget about God. About 70 years ago, there was a craze for bicycles. Nowadays, it's a craze for bicycles too. Only they're motor bicycles. We have craze for boats, craze for campers and motorhomes. There are crazes for all sorts of things. We see our neighbor do something or get something, and we must do the same. Systematic benevolence is against this kind of freewheeling, selfish attitude. Beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. In place of covetousness as the center of the personality, let us divert our thoughts to Jesus Christ. Let us turn them to the needs of our fellow men, away from the self-centered attitude. Look for a new center, unselfish benevolence with Jesus Christ, the great dynamic. Part number two, this kind of systematic benevolence will be a blessing to man. It will help man to fulfill the divine purpose. They that do good, they that are ready to distribute, willing to share, are laying up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. If we make friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, Christ told in the parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16, then when it, the mammon of unrighteousness fails, the friends that we have made, Jesus Christ, the Father, the Spirit, the holy angels, will receive us into everlasting habitations. We are to utilize all our resources to develop the characteristics of a true Christian, one who lives for God. The servant of the Lord declared, I saw that in the arrangement of systematic benevolence, hearts will be tested and proved. When we have an opportunity to give, why do we withhold? What are we going to do? We receive an impulse to give $2 or $5, and we give $1 or $3. Why? Hearts are being tested and proved. This kind of thinking brings us to understand our own hearts. We see now whether the love of Christ is really impelling us or whether the love of the world is predominating. The plan of systematic benevolence will prove a safeguard to every family against temptation to spend means for needless things. It will prove a blessing to the rich by guarding them from indulging in extravagances. Part number 3. It will be a blessing to the church. One generous person in the church can trigger generosity in many others. I remember when I used to live in Maryland of a project that a church in that state was undertaking. It had started off quite well. But the members had given up. Only a trickle of resources were coming in, and the church building project was progressing very slowly. And then at one business meeting, a young truck driver with 2 or 3 children stood up, and he says, My wife and I have decided that we are going to take our automobile and borrow $500 on it. We have paid for it, but we are going to borrow $500 on it tomorrow and put it into the church building. The other members knew his situation. He was by no means wealthy. They realized the complete sincerity that he was expressing, and tears began to flow, and pens began to run, checks began to be written, and very soon that church building was completed. One man's generosity fired, triggered, inspired the generosity of his fellow church members. Systematic benevolence will be a blessing to the church. Give and it shall be given to you. With what measure you measure out, it will be measured to you again. Those churches who are the most systematic and liberal in sustaining the cause of God are the most prosperous spiritually. Let us never forget that. God does not choose to enforce us to pay. He doesn't want to do that. He wants us to want to do it. Whether I give or whether I do not give, I am affecting myself and my fellow men. Let us bear this in mind, that no man is an island, that my generosity may help somebody else to be generous, and the gifts we both give might be a blessing to a third party. Part number 4, no calls for giving should be necessary. Why should somebody ask me to give to the cause of God? Why should somebody have to remind me to be faithful with my tithes and offerings? Have not I got a personal relationship with God? Isn't Jesus Christ my Savior? Doesn't His love strengthen my will, give me motivation? Why shouldn't I spontaneously and joyously and continuously, looking to Jesus, do just what He wants us to do? It's really a shame that we need other human beings to remind us of our God-given responsibility. God has devised a plan by which all may give as He has prospered them. Now this is proportionate giving. This is the system. We should make it a habit, without waiting for special calls, to give tithes and offerings. Those who can do this, but will not because of their selfishness, are robbing their Creator. And what they do is an affront to God. It is offensive to visitors. It distracts from the spirit of worship. And yet, in His mercy, God wishes His ministers not to neglect their duty to call for systematic benevolence. We shouldn't need to have calls, but sometimes in His mercy God sends those calls so that we may give in order to gain a blessing and to be a blessing. Part number 5. If systematic benevolence is neglected, what will be the results? And I perceive that the portions of the Levites, Nehemiah says, had not been given to them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his own field. There were no offerings, they couldn't keep themselves, and so the service of the temple was neglected. Then contended I with the rulers. What Nehemiah did was to work with the leadership of the church in Jerusalem. And he persuaded them to do what was right. And when the leading men and women in the community realized their responsibilities and obeyed God to the full, then brought all Judah, the tithe of the corn and the wine and the oil, unto the treasuries. Notice the sequence. God filled the mind of His minister Nehemiah with a vision of need. Nehemiah then went personally to the rulers, worked on them. He took the elders and the deacons and the deaconesses and all the other officers of the church, and he talked with them. And then he gathered all the people together, told them. And finally, all Judah complied. This is a very excellent plan. If the plan is neglected, problems, difficulties will result. Part number 6. God's own plan. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Whether we get $100 a week, or $1,000 a week, or $10,000 a week, the tithe belongs to the Lord. Then we bring whatever offerings the Lord impels us to do. There are many of us who say, well, let's take another tithe. One tithe we give to the Lord, the second tithe we distribute as we are able. We give some to the Sabbath school, we give some to church expenses, we give some to worthy students, some to the poor, some to the Red Cross, some to the Voice of Prophecy. That second tithe we can allocate as we will. And this planning, this systematic giving, this arranging of our resources week by week and month by month is a discipline that will help us. This kind of benevolence will redound to our blessing and to God's glory, to the hastening of the coming of Christ, and to the end of this world of sin and woe. Systematic benevolence is heaven's plan to hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.